Welcome to another weekly visit from the Orthodox Christian Network called Come Receive the Light, and our main topic today is surrender. Surrender. In your estimation, is that good or bad?
Surrender is not defeat, it's victory. It's not passive, it's active, but it does mean trying to have our will, our way, follow Christ's way.
Easy to say, not so easy to do. I should have been more specific. We're going to talk about surrendering to Christ, sometimes a step-by-step process, first of discovery and then letting go a little bit at a time, and ultimately giving Christ complete control of our life.
The real question is, Lord, what is it you want me to be doing right now? I need to know on the big issues and the little issues. I try as much as I can to ask Him for His will and His guidance.
Dr. Albert Rossi will share his professional thoughts on this subject in a few minutes as he talks with our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, and I'm Mike Trout. Again, welcome. I'm glad you've chosen to spend a few minutes with us. If you're new to this broadcast, we're here each week, and we are also on the web at myocn.net. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're on Google Plus. You can check us out at all of those locations. Our pleasant task through this broadcast and through the many other ministries that you'll find on the web is to bring you conversations about subjects which have the potential for a life-changing impact on you and those around you. It's as simple as that. And we do it with our understanding of what the Bible, God's Word to us, has to say. Again, you can find us on the web at myocn.net. Now, in addition to being the founder of the Orthodox Christian Network and the host of this program, Father Chris is also the president of Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. And if you're thinking of pursuing a quality college education in a Christian environment, or perhaps studying for the priesthood, I encourage you to check out Hellenic College Holy Cross at hchc.edu. That's hchc.edu. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here's Father Chris.
Joining us today is a longtime friend of the show, Dr. Albert Rossi, who's here to talk with us about what it means to surrender to Christ. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Rossi.
My joy, Father Chris.
Surrendering to Christ. Now, that sounds like something we would all like to do, but might be a little bit difficult for us to do.
Indeed, it is. And it really is countercultural. Surrendering means subordinating to Christ. It is truly Christ who liberates us. So I want to begin with an example that's so clear in my mind. Mm-hmm. My daughter, when she was in college, spent a semester in Siena, Italy, where they have a gorgeous cathedral. And 90 miles away is the Florence Cathedral. And they were built about the same time, and they're about the same size, and to use the word, competitively. So one built this baptistry, one built the baptistry a bit bigger. And then it went on. It took a long time to build both cathedrals. But they were done with growing competition. My daughter, visiting hundreds of years later in Siena, had a wonderful time with the family. Then one weekend said to the mother, "Oh, I think I'll take a bus over to Florence and take a look at the Florence Cathedral." And my Beth was told, "If you go to Florence, don't you ever come back to this house again."
My goodness.
There's hatred between the towns to this day over the building of the cathedrals. The cathedrals are both gorgeous. I've stood in both. It takes your breath away. So we're back to motivation and how we do things. So surrender is not defeat. It's victory. It's not passive. It's active. But it does mean trying to have our will, our way, follow Christ's way.
Now, when you speak about, clearly you tell this story, there's some amount of surrendering here. I mean, it involves a winner and a loser, going to this cathedral, going to that cathedral. And the loser usually has to give something up to the winner. So what is it that we give up to Christ? What is it that we give up to God?
Great question. And fundamentally, it means I give up my ego. I really do try to say, at this moment, this day, in this task, on this issue, I want to do it your way. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to do it your way. When I forget that piece and just start ahead on my own thoughts, which might be good, as building a cathedral is a good thing, I could end up with a travesty. I'm also reminded of a true story of a 15-year-old girl who had stopped going to her church, and her pastor met her after all, and he said, oh, honey, how come you haven't been coming to church? And she said, well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not going back to church at all because the homilies are all the same. He said, but you've been to this evangelical and this one and this one, and we're all different. How could we be the same? She said, your message is always, A, God is good. B, I am bad. C, try harder, and it doesn't work. She said, I have tried that, and it doesn't work, so I'm out of here. And she has it right, because that's faulty theology. That's not biblical. We don't try harder and then make it.
That's a very shallow theology, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Very shallow.
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of us might think that I've got to pray more, I should be fasting harder. I mean, that's not then what surrendering to Christ is all about, increasing our personal efforts.
No. The reverse is true. I need to let go and let God. Mm-hmm. Again, it's very subtle, but it's the heart of the matter, is being the Pharisee or the publican, because if I do the things that I think I need to do, oh, I'll give up this and that, and I will pray harder. If I do that, as the Pharisees did tithe, mint, and cumin, and money, then I can easily fall into the trap of, I thought this, and I did it, and therefore, I guess I'm pretty good. And that's, again, just unbiblical.
I mean, mm-hmm. I can hear listeners asking me the question, but okay, Dr. Rossi, it sounds great, but how do I do this? How do mm-hmm. I let go? How do I let God?
Mm-hmm. Again, I'll just give a little example. In Africa, this is the way they catch monkeys in Africa. They get a coconut, they get a tool, they drill a hole in one end big enough for the monkey to get its hand in, and they get another tool and put it in that hole, and they hollow the inside of the coconut out. Then they put a bolt at the other end of the coconut and a chain, and they chain the coconut to a tree and let it on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Then they put pineapple and rice in the coconut and on the ground around the coconut. Then they go home. They come, and the monkey comes, and the monkey finds the pineapple and the rice and loves it and eats it, and then smells it inside and sticks its hand in and grabs a big handful and tries to pull it out, but it can't get its hand out. Well, the predators who went home come back the next morning. The monkey's still there with the pineapple and rice in its hand, caught, and they chop the monkey's head off and make monkey soup. Now, all the monkey has to do is open its hand, pull its hand out, and go swing by its tail from the branches.
Mm-hmm.
The monkey holds on to its demise. So the question you're asking goes through that example into what Christ told us. The way we surrender is to ask. We have to ask. Ask and you shall receive. But we can't skip that step. The real question is, Lord, what is it you want me to be doing right now? What is your will in this moment? Do you want me to go left or do you want me to go right? And I know you're not stingy with light, and I know if I ask, you'll enlighten me. So I need to know on the big issues and the little issues, I try as much as I can to ask him for his will and his guidance.
Mm-hmm. What about some examples from Scripture that we can look to on how to surrender to God, as you've explained?
It's really replete. The one example that really just jumps off the... Christ looks with his apostles out over the hillside, and they see the harvest white. And it's just there, and it's full. And Christ says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He diagnoses the problem very clearly. There's the harvest, and our laborers are few. Now the question is, what does the Lord say next? How do we solve that problem?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, try harder. He just doesn't say that. He doesn't say form a committee. He doesn't say go make a strategic plan. No, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he says, here's what you do. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into his harvest. In other words, you're not going to do it. You pray that God does it. You follow him, and it'll get done. Again, all of it. But the examples in Scripture are many. I also love in John 21, after the resurrection, Peter and a couple of others are up fishing, and they go out in a boat, and they cast their nets over the side, and they catch nothing all night. They try harder, and the harder they try, they catch nothing. Then Christ comes and says to them, children, and so on, and they cast your net on this side, and they follow his will and pull up this net full of fish so heavy that they can hardly pull it in. And at that point, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, says, it is the Lord. They recognize him in his way and what he does. And the last little example I would give is Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. We are the sheep. The sheep don't try harder. They just follow the shepherd. They don't try to get their own little map and put their little noses to the ground. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We follow.
Well, Dr. Rossi, you're bringing out some things that are going to definitely go counterculture. And that is, everyone out there has been trying to do something, do it better, try harder. Mm-hmm. You want to lose weight, you have to try harder. Mm-hmm. You want to become a better student at the SAT, you have to try harder.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about something with eternal ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Scripture again, Luke 22:42. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Christ's mm-hmm. words himself. Mm-hmm. Speak a little bit about that for us.
Yes. In our own, and it's not in the culture, it's in our churches. I've given talks in auditoriums where in the back it says, we're number one.
Mm.
Try harder. That there's a certain self-exaltation within our orthodoxy sometimes, and certainly within the culture a lot of times. But your question about Christ, not my will, but thy will be done. Christ again saw, he really didn't want that night. He said, if it be possible, please, if it's possible, I don't want to do this. I can't do it. So we have to expect we're going to put our nose against the wall many times. I really don't want to do this, but I will be done. But I know this is what you want, so help me, and I will try to do my best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the Holy Fathers? What did the Fathers say about this?
Oh, they follow the Bible, mm-hmm. and they're replete with examples, but the one I like best is one from St. Theophan the Recluse, who says that, seek God, that is, we have to do something. We don't just close our eyes. We seek God. Such is the unalterable rule of all spiritual advancement. Nothing comes without some effort. The help of God is always ready and always near, but only given to those who seek and work, and only to those who put their powers to the test and cry with all their heart, Lord, help us. So long as you hold on to even the little hope of achieving something by your own efforts, the Lord does not interfere. It's as though he says, you hope to succeed by yourself? Very well, go on trying. But however long you try, you will achieve nothing. Then St. Theophan adds, may the Lord give you a contrite heart and humble spirit. That is to say, if we are ambitious and we see things that can be done and we just bull ahead to do it, the Lord will let us do that, but it'll crash and burn more sooner than later.
Dr. Rossi, I know you've been on the program many times, and many people listen to your words, and I have to tell you, you're one of our favorite guests for a lot of our listeners. What about your own life? Tell us about, if you have an example of an experience that you've had with surrendering to Christ, and what's come out of that.
Yes, there are many. I'm a recovering alcoholic. One time in the room, a man said that he had a slip. He just began, he got drunk, and he did some really wild, ugly things. And then he sobered up, and he said he called his father. And he said to his father, I've been in AA for a long time, and I had a lot of recovery, then I slipped. And in the meeting, this man said, my father said to me, well, son, just try harder. Mm. And the whole AA room burst into laughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a clear example that trying harder doesn't work. Because as an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, I tried many, many times. I couldn't do it on my own. It's only when one comes in total dependence on God that one really, really understands that.
Dr. Rossi, thank you so much for talking with me today and all of our listeners about a truly important topic, one that is definitely timely, which I know is very close to your heart. Listeners, to hear more wonderful interviews with Dr. Albert Rossi, just visit us online at myocn.net. Thank you, Dr. Rossi.
Oh, thank you, Father Chris. It's a joy being with you.
Here's a little more detail on finding additional conversations with Dr. Rossi. When you go to that website, myocn.net, click on the Listen button and then select CRTL or Come Receive the Light. When you do that, the archives for this broadcast, which began nearly 20 years ago, will open up. Again, that's myocn.net. We've been able to continue all these years because of the commitment of our staff and the generosity of our financial partners. If you're looking for a meaningful ministry to join with, perhaps you need look no further. Any donation is greatly appreciated and gratefully accepted. Go to the website myocn.net to give safely and securely. Well, have you ever heard a news report, viewed a documentary, or read an article about something and said, huh, I never knew that existed? Well, you might just have that reaction to the work of our next guest and her team. On the phone in his office at Hellenic College, here again is Father Chris.
In our busy and hurried world, people are finding ways to be comforting and nurturing. Today's guest, Elaine Sotiropoulos, is no exception. She has organized her local Willens philanthropic group to find a way to comfort parents who have lost their babies in delivery or shortly after. They call their ministry Angel Babies. Welcome, Elaine.
Thank you, Father Chris. Nice to be with you today.
I'm sure this is going to be quite a conversation. What inspired you to organize Angel Babies in your parish?
I saw a video of a group in Texas, and I saw the work that they were doing, and I thought, that would be a great... We were looking for a project for our group, and it seemed like a good fit.
Okay, let's talk specifically about what is it that you do.
What we do is we accept donations of bridal gowns, and then we repurpose them. So we take them apart, and we recut them, and we make teeny tiny little angel baby gowns for babies who are no longer with us.
So these might be preemies or micro-preemie babies, let's say, that
exactly.
pass after
exactly.
their birth, right?
So they might be miscarriages, they might be medically fragile. There's many, many reasons why people lose their babies too soon.
So
by providing these gowns, we provide something beautiful to wrap this baby in for its final passage.
Well, you know, as a priest for many decades, I've had the opportunity, unfortunately, to be present when some of these deaths do happen. No matter how old the child is, it's still a death.
Exactly.
And whether a preemie dies or the baby dies, it's still very, very tragic. And I'm sure that this must bring some comfort to the parents, doesn't it?
It does. And we do is we incorporate the beautiful aspects of the gowns themselves. So when they have embroidery or lace or some beautiful detail, we'll place the pattern so that that beautiful detail comes to the front of the dress so that it's not just something to wrap the baby in, but it's something beautiful to wrap the baby in.
Mm-hmm.
And now when more parents are doing photos with the babies now, it's nice to have something beautiful for that baby to be in.
Well, and that too is something very important because we're honoring the image and the likeness of Christ that is in every person from
exactly.
the time of their conception. So the beauty is not necessarily in the lace, but the beauty is in what the lace represents, that beautiful part of the image and likeness of Christ in each person. Do you have any personal stories about some of these situations that you could share with our listeners?
You know, it's interesting that women that I have gone to church with for many, many years have come to these evenings, and then they'll say, I'm here because I lost a baby at 5 months, or I lost a baby at 6 months, and I never knew that. We didn't know that about each other. So women are sharing more of their own loss, and that's part of their process as well. We also had a family that wasn't even a members of our community that she came in with her wedding dress and her husband and her son and shared with us that she had lost her baby at 32 weeks and wanted to donate her gown in memory of the baby because she knew it would go to something beautiful. So those kinds of stories really touch our hearts.
No, sure, 32 weeks is late in the pregnancy, no doubt about it.
Very late.
So we're talking about using older wedding garments, wedding gowns. Where do you find these? I mean, you said somebody brought one to you. Do you buy them? I mean, they don't.
We have not bought one. We
really?
Started off when we started working with the hospice organization. They have a thrift store So they started us off with our first five. And since then, we've had people, we did get a little media coverage with a news story in December, and word of mouth has gone out. So people hear from it from friends. They've seen a little news story, and at least once a week, somebody comes and drops one off at church, or they'll call someone and say, hey, can I give you my gown? They're just coming in.
And what about the distribution of the gowns and the blankets? I mean, how does that take place?
Well, the thing that makes it great is we have a local hospice group called Heinz Hospice, and they have been doing this outreach already with Angel Babies because they took on the task of helping parents bury their babies. Because when you are pregnant and suddenly miscarry or have a baby die immediately following birth, you don't know what to do. You're not expecting it. You're not prepared. So Heinz Hospice has a special little cemetery section just for Angel Babies, and they work with families in a 3-county area. By us donating to them, they can provide directly to the parents. They also provide counseling, and it's all free service.
Well, let's talk about the specific people that are doing this. These are obviously, you spoke about women, you spoke about sewing. So that's probably very sexist of me to say that. It could be men as well who would do this.
It is primarily women.
Okay, I have a feeling that it's the women driving this, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Talk to me about the women in the group.
Well, we started it through our Athena Filoptojo Society at our Church of St. George, and we don't just limit it, of course. We open it to everyone, and we've not only had women in our parish involved, but friends of women who've been involved, you know, oh, I saw it on Facebook. Can I come work with you on your next work day? Or we've had friends who live 2 hours away. Oh, I can't come to a work day. Can I knit some blankets and send them to you? We also have some of our older women who don't want to come down to church at night, but they are willing to sew at home. So we cut out the little patterns and send them home with the ribbons, and then they sew them and get them back to us. So it's kind of started to infuse a wider group. We also had a teenage daughter of one of the women that came. The woman brought the little diapers home to finish, and her daughter said, oh, Mom, teach me how to sew so that I can make these for you and for the group.
Nice.
And she sewed 2 dozen of them for us.
That's amazing.
So
this is a part of the Filoptojo Society, the Ladies Society of St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Fresno, California, correct?
Correct.
And do you meet once in a while? Do you meet monthly?
We meet once a month.
Okay.
We meet from 2 to 8, so we do a 6-hour work day. And at that time, we get the dresses, we start cutting them out, we start organizing, we sew the different things that we sew, we cut ribbon, we iron, we press, we tag, you know, we do a lot of different things just to get them ready. And then about quarterly, we take in a significant donation to the hospice group.
How long has this been going on? I mean, do you have any way to count how many gowns you've made?
Yeah, we've just finished our first full year of work, and we made 178 gowns.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You know, we have a similar group here where I was serving at St. Demetrius in Fort Lauderdale. Been there for the past 25 years before I took on my new assignment at Hellenic College and Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a group there called Loving Stitches, and these are ladies who come and they knit and they make blankets for the preemies. These are the live ones, the children
right.
that are still in intensive care. And it is truly a gift to be able to do this for the parents and for the blessed children, both those that live and, of course, those who have gone on to meet their Creator. I have a feeling that you're going to be an inspiration to others. So is there a way that others can reach you for tips, for advice, and how they can go forward and do what you're doing?
Absolutely. They can do an online search. There's lots of information out there. Some are called Angel Outfitters. Some are called Angel Gowns. There's Teeny Diapers. There's a lot of different groups. You can certainly contact our church, St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Fresno, or you can reach us on Facebook. I'm actually in the process of setting up our Facebook page for our local group, and it's going to be called, we'll put it under Athena Angel Babies. We've had one or two people say, oh, that's such a morbid thing to do, and yet I don't see it that way at all. I see it as providing comfort, tactile. They know somebody loved them enough to create these for them. They leave the hospital where their baby is with something to hold, something precious. And to me, that is a labor of love.
Well, you know, Elaine, having held many of those children in my arms, both those who have lived and honestly those who have died, last year we lost two, a set of twins in the parish. And having held them in my arms and having walked through that valley of the shadow of death with those parents, I would say to you that whatever you have done is a wonderful thing, and I would encourage you to do that. So, folks, as you're listening and you're hearing this in tremendous ministry that Elaine and the ladies have built there in Fresno, California, we want you to go online, look up the Church of St. George in Fresno, California, and if the Spirit so moves you that you want to either donate a wedding gown of your own, or you'd like to make a donation to assist this philanthropic ministry, we encourage you to do that. Thank you, Elaine, for all you've done. God bless you.
Thank you, Father Chris.
I've taken a little time to go to that website for St. George in Fresno, and the address is simply stgeorgefresno.org, and Saint is just stgeorgefresno.org. I didn't find a direct link to this particular ministry, but there certainly is contact information there, so you can give them a call or send them an email and get additional details. This is Come Receive the Light, a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we're here each week. We're a nonprofit ministry. We do depend upon your prayer support and your financial support. When you go to our website at myocn.net, you'll see a donate button. You can give safely and securely when you go on the website, and we appreciate your partnership with us. We're also on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Google+. Follow us on a daily basis. We'll be back next week at this same time. I hope you'll join us and let your friends know about the ministry and about this broadcast. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.